Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast. It is July 14th, 2022, and I'm your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its Sits and Takes section, stories from the First Read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our History of Trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. I have a couple of corrections or clarifications. Yesterday, I mentioned an interview I was doing with a Chicago Board of Trade trader and how his father had come to the exchange as a teenager. It was actually his grandfather who came to the exchange as a teenager and who became the first of the Pychek family to become members of the CBOT. I interviewed John Pychek yesterday in an Open Outcry Traders History Project podcast interview. Interestingly, John and I have intertwined paths involving the Cashman family and John J. Ruth. John Pychek's grandfather had sponsored Gene Cashman when he became a member, John said. Later, with the help of former Harris Bank banker John J. Ruth, John was able to get a loan from Continental Bank to buy a full CBOT member in 1979, despite having a net worth of $25,000, he said. Gene Cashman's nephew, Thomas J. Cashman, was my first industry employer and a lifelong mentor of mine, and John J. Ruth was a former business partner of Tom's in the CBOT member firm Victor Grain. John Ruth has been a lifelong mentor of mine as well. Also, Michael A. Weinberg shared with me that his late father, Michael Weinberg Jr.'s membership badge changed from Mike, M-I-K-E, to Wine, W-E-I-N, after he left the trading floor briefly in the 1960s. We also had a typo in the video and story about Alan Greenberg of Matrix Executions. He's the COO, not the CEO. We apologize for all the errors. When I was hired by Tom Cashman in the summer of 1978, which was 45 years ago, oh my God, he told me I needed to wear a collared shirt, no jeans, and no shorts. Times change, and so do opinions about what you can and can't wear to the office. The Wall Street Journal covers this subject with a story titled, "Can Men Ever Wear Shorts to the Office? What About Baseball Caps? Our poll results may surprise you." With a subheading, "We surveyed more than 1,000 U.S. adults about what casual items guys can get away with wearing to work now. Often, generations were divided." You've heard the saying, you can run, but you can't hide. Well, that is getting to be true in the world of climate risks, according to a Vox story with the headline, "There's no such thing as a disaster resistance a place anymore," and the subheading, "Climate risks are becoming increasingly expensive, not just locally, but globally." Add the name of Alexander Mashinsky, founder and former CEO of the failed cryptocurrency lending platform Celsius Network, to the list of those crypto executives who have been arrested and charged with fraud. Mashinsky was charged with securities, commodities, and wire fraud in an indictment unsealed in Manhattan federal court, the Associated Press reported. Do you remember when diversity and inclusion programs at companies were something to be celebrated? You can forget about that if a group of Republican U.S. state attorney generals have their way. A group of 13 Republican U.S. state attorney generals said in court last month that any policy that treats people differently because of their race is illegal, even when adopted with good intentions. Reuters reported, this action comes, quote, in light of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision effectively striking down affirmative action in higher education, unquote. Reuters said, Some high-profile diversity officers have been leaving big companies, the Financial Times reports. Leaders at Disney, Netflix, Warner Brothers Discovery, and the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences have resigned or been let go in recent weeks, the FT reported. Bloomberg asks how much income you need to crack America's richest 1%. The answer, it seems, is that it now takes more than $650,000 a year to be among the top 1% of the wealthiest households in the U.S. The president of the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank, James Bullard, stepped down to become the dean of Purdue University's Mitchell E. Daniels Jr. School of Business, the Wall Street Journal reported. The Krannert School of Management, of which I am a graduate, has been morphed into a business school and renamed for the former Indiana governor and Purdue president, Mitch Daniels. The graduate school still has the Krannert name. The America's Trading Conference 2023, presented by FIX Trading Communities, is October 18th, 2023, all day at Etc. Venues, 360 Madison Avenue in New York City. A series of panel sessions across a two-stream agenda will examine post-trade developments, the futures market, digital assets, trading, and automation, ChatGPT. The full agenda will be announced shortly. You can follow developments and register with a link in today's newsletter. Our most read stories yesterday on JLN Options were: bet on tiny healthcare firm shows option math is hard, from Bloomberg. Number two was Matrix Execution COO Alan Greenberg on option trends, 24-hour trading, and how Tony Saliba got the band back together again, from John Lothian News, a video. And volatility is an asset class. Here's how to manage it without getting burned, from Barron's. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First, from the Associated Press. The headline: Biden says he's serious about pursuing prisoner exchange for Wall Street Journal reporter held in Russia. President Joe Biden on Thursday said he's serious about pursuing a prisoner exchange for a Wall Street Journal reporter who has been detained in Russia for more than 100 days. A Kremlin earlier this month suggested it was open to a possible prisoner exchange that could involve Evan Gershkovich, but it underscored that such talks must be held out of the public eye. My comment: I can think of a couple of non-prisoners we can throw in that Putin might like. How would Putin like Dennis Rodman? Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline: Extreme heat rips through Europe, bringing health risks for million. Next blast of heat from Sahara looms as Cerberus wave fades. Nuclear power plants forced to curb output as rivers warm. In Athens, the nighttime temperatures won't drop below 25 Celsius or 77 degrees Fahrenheit for 15 days, while many of the city's inhabitants are seeking relief on nearby beaches from as early as 6 a.m. between midday and 5 p.m. The Greek authorities have halted delivery services, while the famed Acropolis will be shut for that period. Some tourists visiting the ancient site have needed first aid. My comment: see above. There is nowhere to hide. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline: the UK isn't ready for the heat that's coming. We need to start adapting to the world that lies beyond 1.5 degrees Celsius. That means putting sustainable cooling on the agenda. The world is getting hot. Last month was the planet's hottest June on record, according to an analysis from the European Union's Copernicus Climate Change Service, with substantially higher than usual temperatures recorded on land and sea. The highest average daily global temperature was reached on Monday, July 3rd, smashing a record held since 2016. A new highest ever was reached the next day, then broken yet again 2 days later. My comment. Time to get my wee summer kilt out. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was tornadoes touched down near Chicago's O'Hare Airport and outside city from the Washington Post. Many of us here in Chicago were rattled, either literally or figuratively. Second was, when parents want to pass down furniture you hate, an awkward true story from the Wall Street Journal. Third was, the six ways to grow a company from the Harvard Business Review. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from the Financial Times. The headline, SEC dealt legal setback in effort to tame crypto market. In closely watched case against Ripple, judge says tokens sold on public exchanges were not securities. U.S. regulators were dealt a setback in their efforts to restrict the sale of cryptocurrencies on Thursday when a judge found that Ripple Labs did not violate securities laws by selling digital tokens to members of the public. The Securities and Exchange Commission filed a civil lawsuit against the cryptocurrency pioneer in December 2020, claiming that Ripple sold $1.38 billion worth of its XRP token without filing the registrations required under securities laws. Here's a story from Bloomberg. The headline, J.P. Morgan notches record revenue on rates, First Republic deal. Net interest income rises to all-time high of $21.8 billion. Diamond says the U.S. economy continues to be resilient. J.P. Morgan Chase & Company's revenue soared to a record in the second quarter, boosted by the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes and its acquisition of First Republic Bank. The firm's $41.3 billion in revenue beat analysts' expectations, fueled by $21.8 billion in net interest income, as well as a $2.7 billion gain on its First Republic purchase, according to a statement Friday. And then finally, here's a story from the Financial Times. A headline, ChatGPT maker investigated by U.S. regulators over AI risks. Federal Trade Commission probes Microsoft-backed OpenAI over potential harm from chatbots fabricating information. The risks posed by artificially intelligent chatbots are being officially investigated by U.S. regulators for the first time after the Federal Trade Commission launched a wide-ranging probe into ChatGPT maker OpenAI. In a letter sent to the Microsoft-backed company, the FTC said it would look at whether people have been harmed by the AI chatbots' creation of false information about them, as well as whether OpenAI has engaged in, quote, an unfair or deceptive, unquote, privacy and data security practices. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.